$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Good day.
And Brian Higgins.
Good day.
I decided to kind of right the wrong there. I know I threw you guys off to kick off the new year. I switched up the order of your names, threw you all off.
You did.
I think everything
and
went off
you
the
threw
rails.
Me off again.
Yeah, I was trying to like.
I didn't even know what
two
to do.
Wrongs make
I thought
a right.
I was getting promoted.
No. Well, we'll see.
It's
if you're on your
basement.
Best behavior.
It is your movie cave, Rick.
Gentlemen, is anyone surprised that, so we are in like the heart of the coldest time this season. It is freezing out. It is single degree temperature. But you know, last year when it was cold.
Tomorrow.
Oh,
it'll
really?
It'll be like 15 degrees.
Oh, we're coming out of the eye of the storm then.
No, it's going to go back down to negative
Jeez.
On Saturday.
But I was just thinking, there's no really like catchy name. Like last year, there was the polar vortex. Everything was the polar vortex.
There is a term, though. It's being referred to as the bomb cyclone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The bomb cyclone.
I'd call it the ice cyclone.
You know, like in the mid-90s, the kids would call things bomb? Like, it's the bomb cyclone.
It's the bomb diggity.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's freezing.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
It's the ice
capades.
Oh, you went there. You went to Disney Ice Capades.
I went to Disney on Ice.
Disney on Ice. Oh, that's different.
Unaffiliated with the Ice Capades, which I don't think exists anymore.
I don't think so.
No,
either.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I think that was the 90s and 80s.
Yeah. Now, this was not intentional, but I am going to go there. It is so cold that I'd rather trade places with someone who lives somewhere warmer.
Actually, that's not a
bad. It wasn't bad.
That
just,
was a good
just
one.
Came up.
That was a really good one.
And Trading Places was actually the movie we did as our first reviews of 2018. We're in a whole new year, gentlemen.
The last time I talked to you was, yesterday.
Did you guys kind of think about, have any further thoughts about Trading Places or anything after watching it?
No, it's the same
time
thing
to digest.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, it's great.
And I enjoyed it, and it was still funny. Some of the things are a little passé.
That was my main point reflecting about this movie. I was like, someone's going to turn to this episode out of context and hear me repeating some of the ideas. I didn't like word for word repeat some of the things that came out of the Duke's mouth about African Americans, but I just kind of repeated the concepts to detail who they are. I was like, if someone's going to turn in, they're going to think I'm saying this. It's like, no, these are the characters saying this.
Now, you do realize people don't just like tune in random.
That's what I was hoping, but you know.
Right.
Usually they start at the beginning with the intention of listening
yes.
to that podcast.
I'm just, you know, in today's society, you can never be too careful. Always dancing on eggshells, so just wanted to throw that out there.
I think we need to change that.
Maybe we could change the hearts and minds
yes.
of America.
Listen to our
via
podcast.
Movie talks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh,
we
perhaps.
Could do that.
I mean, another thing I want to bring up, gentlemen, is at one point, and I didn't really get into this too detail, but I touched upon how I thought I had this movie, but then I didn't, and I was like in my Amazon queue to order. I do own it. I found it. So I did own the movie.
Was it not in the right order?
No, well, the thing is,
did it trade places with another DVD?
Well, the thing is, sometimes I organize my movies where it's like, it's the two-pack with Coming of America, like I said. So it will be like the Fox double feature. So I'll like do that under F or something like that.
That's dumb.
I know.
That's silly.
You should do it by the leading film's first letter.
Maybe I'll
do that.
You know
what you should do? Is you should make something all electronically.
Ah.
Like, you should have a wall that's just a box of like all your DVDs.
Like a
and
jukebox.
And when you cue it, you say, I'd like to watch Trading Places.
I mean, you're talking about like it's like I'm at the
like
vending machine.
Yeah.
And I put an M&M's and it just plays 8 Mile. See what I did there? So moving on to Trading Places.
Yes.
And I will try to refrain from calling it Trading Spaces, which is the TV show.
And Trading Spouses.
Yes, which was also a TV show. So this film was originally conceived to be a movie for Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
I can see that.
But Pryor dropped out, so Eddie Murphy came on board.
But then...
And then he made a motion to get Wilder replaced because he didn't want people to think he was just trying to fill the shoes of Richard Pryor.
And I actually agree with
that
all
makes sense.
Of it.
I think
Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor in this would be a good fit. It would play to their comedic talents.
Ah, yes.
But I think Eddie Murphy, this was a good play by by him to have it have Gene Wilder replaced by Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think so, too. Because you want to establish yourself. Have your own buddy system.
Well, having them trade places is a good thing.
Oh, I see what you did there. Eddie Murphy admitted that while they did the scene where on the floor of the commodities exchange, he followed the script basically to a T because he had no idea what was going on. He found commodities trading to be incredibly confusing. You know, Eddie Murphy ad-libs a lot, so he just kind of was like, I'm just going to stick to the script of this scene. So one of the things I think we're going to get into for our segment of, well, where have these actors gone? Rick, we kind of mentioned how Ralph Bellamy is so familiar looking, but we had really no idea what other movies he'd been in.
Right.
This is one of the Duke brothers.
Yes.
This was actually his 99th film, and Don Amici is only his 49th film.
I knew he was in a lot more.
And this was Eddie Murphy's second film, so the whole time he joked that between the three of them, they had made 150 movies.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's my Eddie Murphy laugh.
Not good.
Someone's going to tune into the podcast and just hear that.
And then say, next podcast.
When they go to the country club and there's all the girls hearing the three guys singing about their alma mater, you know, Muffy's da 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 da, you know, like those girls are swooning. The girl Muffy is played by Jamie Lee Curtis's sister.
Oh.
And the exteriors of that scene were filmed at the Curtis Institute of Music. Oh, Rick, you'll get a kick out of this. This is under the title of the trivia, Director Trademark, a John Landis trademark. So Lewis's prison number is 74745058, which is the same prison number as Jake Blues in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, cool.
Is that critical? Yeah, yeah. He's the same one.
Easter eggs from 1980.
Exactly.
Or whenever. When was this? 86? 85?
83.
I like Easter eggs.
And we had brought this up before, how kind of this was like a turn of pace from Jamie Lee Curtis, who was like the innocent horror scream queen that was the good girl, and then, you know, she was a prostitute doing nudity. So according to John Landis, Jamie Lee Curtis was a very hard sell to Paramount. She had only done horror films and wasn't really known for comedy. He really had to, like, try to sell her to kind of get her into this movie.
Again, that's a good idea.
Premiere Magazine voted this as one of the 50 greatest comedies of all time.
I remember Premiere Magazine.
Yeah, I used to get that. I remember that, too.
I'm pretty sure it's defunct.
Definitely is.
I would agree. What place? Does it have a place or not?
It doesn't say what place it is. It just says it's within the 50. I would like to know that.
I want to see the top 50.
I would like to see it, too. We'll have to go. Maybe Premiere went online? I don't know.
I'll do some research.
Yeah, you do some research, Brian. Oh, this is great. The electronic status board at Duke and Duke's, seen prominently in the Christmas scene where they're showing the stocks, is the big money board from the 1976 Family Feud set. It's where the answers come from.
Really?
Really?
Survey says pork bellies.
That's actually awesome.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Orange juice. Orange juice.
Orange, you glad I didn't say juice?
What the hell? Oh, my God. Listen to this.
Wow. What just happened?
This movie was filmed immediately after The Twilight Zone, the movie. Accident.
Yeah.
Where Vic Morrow and the two child actors were killed when a helicopter crashed during production.
Yes.
John Landis was later tried and acquitted of manslaughter.
Wait,
the first time in history that a Hollywood director was charged for a death which occurred on set.
So I take it you haven't heard about it.
I think I heard about the accident, but I didn't hear like John Landis was tried for this.
Yeah.
I never heard about this.
I didn't hear about this at all.
Do tell us more, Brian.
There was definitely, they were filming after hours. Like it was a situation where they really shouldn't have been filming and the safety precautions weren't in place. And I believe Vic Morrow and the two children were killed by the blades of a helicopter.
Oh my God.
So, it's a very sketchy situation.
Yeah, that is weird.
And I mean, the fact that John Landis got acquitted is good for him, I guess, but it's, I believe it played a very prominent role in further regulations regarding filmmaking.
Well, at least they could put better regulations and safety control in there.
Especially since there were two children involved as well.
Well, but still.
I believe the kids specifically weren't supposed to be on the set that long.
Yeah, right. Jeez, that's
really?
Crazy. Yeah.
Wow, that is insane.
This was Don Amici's first film since Suppose They Gave a War and Nobody Came, which was in 1970. He had been doing television guest appearances. This movie kind of like jump-started his theatrical career because after that he did Cocoon, where he got the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. So he, like, wasn't in films for about 13 years, and then he took all those elderly roles and turned out well for him. The theme of rich men taking in a bum and passing him off as an aristocrat is reminiscent of the George Bernard Shaw play Pygmalion, and also includes specific elements of Hoi Polloi from 1935, a previous American film parody of the same name.
Hoi Polloi.
The theme of a rich and poor person exchanging positions in life comes, obviously, from the Mark Twain novel, The Prince and the Pauper, which we brought up.
Premier Magazine, 50 Greatest Comedy Films list. It was not a ordered list. It was listed in chronological order. Yeah. What we'll do after we're done with this segment, we'll read through these 50, and we'll see how many Mark has seen, because you haven't seen many.
That's a fun game. All right, so we'll end really quickly on these two last fun facts. So one is, which I prefer, I wish they had actually done, was that the baggage handlers were originally supposed to be Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas as the McKenzie brothers from SCTV.
Oh, that would be amazing.
When they fell through, Dan Aykroyd or Eddie Murphy recommended Tom Davis and Al Franken from their Saturday Night Live days. And then finally, the original title of Trading Places was Black and White.
Oh. I think they did a better job changing that, because not only do they trade places,
yes,
but their job is in one of those trading places.
Oh, I like that. Two meanings there. All right, gentlemen, so what we're going to do now, let's get our minds kind of going back to 2017 a little bit, where our quote-unquote holiday film was the shoehorn Time Cop.
Yes.
And we're going to try to connect
holiday classic
Time Cop to Trading Places.
Oh, right.
Now, I have a couple connections. Did anyone else
think
have
about it at all?
Okay, so I will give my connections. Most easiest and best person to use in both of these connections was Jean-Claude Van Damme's boss, Bruce McGill.
Okay.
So Bruce McGill was in Animal House with the late, great John Belushi. And then Belushi was in Blues Brothers,
Dan Aykroyd.
And Neighbors, the movie Neighbors, with Dan Aykroyd.
Okay, cool.
Now, Rick, you'll also like this one. So these are going to be two of your favorite connections, because I just used Belushi, right?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite.
Bruce McGill was in Black Sheep with Chris Farley.
Yes.
And Chris Farley was in Tommy Boy with Dan Aykroyd. So there you go. Use Belushi and Farley for you, buddy. So since we're kind of thinking about Time Cop a little bit, one of the things we didn't have a chance to do because we totally forgot is stick Time Cop in the ranking list.
Oh, yeah. Before we talk about the 50 greatest comedies, we got to rank some of our own movies.
Oh, all right.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to go. All right. What's number 22?
You want to do 22?
Well, I just want
we're going to go lower.
What's our total right now?
Our total is 57 movies. And I believe, Brian, at the time, we said we were going to maybe start Sudden Death as the starting point.
Well, yeah, I think we should start at Sudden Death and go, is Time Cop better or worse than Sudden Death?
I think we have a little heated debate here.
I think Time Cop, all right, how's this? I like the villain in Time Cop better.
Okay, Ron Silver, he was great. So, I mean, I think I expressed this at the time. Time Cop better. Brian likes Sudden Death better. I always thought this was Jean-Claude's pinnacle of a movie.
I don't know about pinnacle. I mean, The Quest was very good.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Okay. All right, so let's get into discussion here.
I think it's better.
Because I think it might get stopped soon.
Number is Sudden Death at again?
Sudden Death's at 42.
Okay.
All right. So moving up, Can't Buy Me Love. I mean, it's kind of a different movie. I don't know. Kind of a completely different turn.
I would say it's better.
I'd probably watch Time Cop before Can't
Buy Me Love.
Okay. All right.
Flight of the Navigator. I loved that movie as a kid. It was just kind of bad this time.
I think I'd watch Time Cop.
Yeah.
I would need to watch Flight of the Navigator again to tell you where I would put it.
All right, so you're going to take our word for it. Now, Rick's going to get in a bit of a debate here, but I might be on board with him.
Okay.
Time Cop against Spawn.
Oh.
I mean, they're both kind of like goofy action movies. So.
I think I'd watch Time Cop over Spawn.
Okay, Brian?
I mean, I like Spawn, but I think I'd watch Time Cop.
I think I'd agree.
Jingle All the Way
versus
Time
Cop. Every day.
I'm not a huge fan of Jingle All the Way.
I mean, yeah, I liked it. I'm willing to kind of give leeway to Brian here on this one. Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's going to start getting towards after Jingle All the Way, there's no way it's going to beat.
Yeah.
It's
not going to beat Major League.
It's not going to beat Major League. It's not going to beat The Dark Crystal.
No.
Teen Wolf.
It could. No, I'd watch Teen Wolf. I think I'd watch Teen Wolf before
I'd
watch Teen Wolf.
I think that was your vote.
Okay.
I think I'd watch Time Cop over Teen Wolf.
So do we want to put Time Cop in between Jingle All the Way and Spawn?
Sure.
Yes.
You good with that?
I'm good with that.
So number 39, Time Cop.
And what about Trading Places?
Oh, do you want to do that now?
Let's do it.
Oh, let's do it. We might as well.
We might as well.
This is why I was saying
we're talking about that movie.
This is where I was saying start at 22.
So start at 22. Okay, so let's start at 23.
Oh, what's that?
Because 23 is The Great Outdoors. And 24 is the other, and I forgot to mention this in the full reviews it, because we were talking about movies when we were describing Don Ameche. Don Ameche was in a previous reviews that we did of Harry the Hendersons, which is at 24.
Correct.
And 23 is The Great Outdoors. So I feel like this is a good place to kind of dance around here.
I would put it above both of those.
I would too.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So where's 22?
No, I would do that. 22 is Adventures in Babysitting.
I would put it above.
I was not here for that, but I would put it above.
I love Adventures of Babysitting. Okay, I do that. I'll do above. I mean, I love Adventures of Babysitting, but maybe the R-rated quality of kind of tips it to me a little bit. Because Sister Act.
I think I'd go above Sister Act.
I would definitely go above Sister Act.
Three Amigos.
I think I'd go above Three Amigos.
I know
Amigos.
Brian would go above it. I'd get...
You're getting really...
It's definitely in this range. Okay, so let's look.
What's above Three Amigos?
Midnight Run.
Oh, I think it's better than Midnight Run. I'd rather watch
You know what? I'm going to agree and say, because I'd watched this before, I really liked Midnight Run, but I would watch this before. So, okay. Top Secret.
I haven't seen Top Secret.
All right,
Top Secret's very fun.
Top Secret,
but I definitely
is...
probably have seen this movie more.
I would put this above Top Secret.
Okay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Ooh, I do love that movie.
I do. That is a good movie. But now you're getting into a movie I know is bad, but I like it.
But like, it's like you love it because as a kid you love the action genre and the Ninja Turtles.
I would watch Trading Places over Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Gremlins.
So now we're getting into movies that some people call Christmas movies, but are really just movies set at Christmas.
That's true. Here's what's coming up. Gremlins, Independence Day, Batman Returns, and then Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
So it's definitely below Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for me.
Yes, I agree.
But
with
I'd put it around the same range, though. I mean, I still like this movie.
I would, too.
Put it right underneath.
I could see it anywhere in this range.
Yeah.
Beneath Planes, Trains, beneath Batman Returns, beneath Independence Day. Probably above Gremlins, I think.
Okay, yeah, I was going to throw that. What if I put it under Independence Day?
Okay.
We like that? So above Gremlins?
Yep. Yeah.
Under Independence Day?
Yep.
All right.
Or maybe between Batman Returns and Independence Day.
Okay.
Okay, one up.
I'd do that.
Okay. Maybe one up.
All right.
You're like Mario. You're going to one up.
Yeah.
Trading Places at number 14.
That's good.
Well
Top
done.
15.
Yep. Top 15. That was within our top 15, but what about the top 50?
We're going to run through this list pretty quickly.
Is this from Premier Magazine?
This is from Premier Magazine.
Wow. I'm ready.
Found on the TCM message board.
That's a weird place
Turner
for the
classic
okay.
So this is from
movies.
2006.
Okay.
So do you want me to start at the earliest movies or the latest movies?
What are you going?
It's
like,
alphabetical,
it's in chronological order.
All right, go early.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Early. Go like 1920s? I
mean, yeah, yeah. Go
start?
With the older ones
right.
And
the first
we're
one
more
is
familiar.
Safety Last from 1925.
Have not seen.
Have not.
The
what
Gold
is it?
Rush, 1925.
Nope.
I might have seen a part of that in like a film class.
Yeah.
Because it's like early it's early examples
Chaplin.
Of cinema. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
The General.
I've seen that movie. Buster Keaton.
Yep.
Seen that.
Yeah, it was Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton. Then, of course, the Marx Brothers with Duck Soup.
Still have never seen. I really want to go back and watch Marx Brothers stuff because I haven't seen all of them.
Then It Happened One Night.
With
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable. I've seen that one, yes.
A Night at the Opera, another Marx
Brothers.
That's
another one I need to see, yep.
My Man Godfrey.
Nope.
1937, The Awful Truth.
Don't think so.
1938, Bringing Up Baby.
No.
Maybe.
Cary Grant.
I just have a list of titles.
I might have seen that one.
Then we had 1940, His Girl Friday.
I've seen that one, yes.
1940, A Chump at Oxford.
Never even heard of that movie.
1940, The Bank Dick.
Nope.
1942, To Be or Not to Be.
The original.
Yes,
not the Mel Brooks remake. Yeah, I saw the remake.
1942, Road to Morocco.
The Bob Hope movie and that. I think I've seen a piece of that.
1944, The Miracle of Morgan's Creek.
Nope.
1955, The Lady Killers, the original.
I've seen the remake.
1958, Big Deal on Madonna Street.
No, nope.
1959, Some Like It Hot. Great
yes,
movie.
Yes, of course I've seen that.
1960, my favorite movie, The Apartment.
Ah, yes.
1964, Dr. Strangelove.
Yes, I've seen that.
1964, wait, A Shot in the Dark.
I don't get the full title.
They didn't list it here, so I'm not going
to
try.
Dr. Strangelove, or Where I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Yeah.
Shot in the Dark. The first Peter Sellers Inspector Clouseau movie. I've seen that, yes.
1968, The Producers.
Yes, of course.
1970, MASH.
Uh-huh. Seen it.
1973, Sleeper.
Yes, I just saw that one last year.
Sleeper
with Woody Allen. Yes, I've seen that.
Nope.
It's a really weird movie.
We're moving into your realm now, Rick.
Yes.
Okay, good.
So 1974, Blazing Saddles.
Of course. Oh, yes. Love that movie.
And 1974, Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good movie.
1975, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I've seen a million times.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh, shut up.
1975.
We saw that in music class.
We saw that in the morning. We'd walk down to, you know, the music room and watch it before school started.
Mr. Seaman.
Yeah.
We'd always watch
clips of that.
Because of the Gregorian chant.
Of course.
Yeah. Also in 75, The Sunshine Boys.
Oh, yeah, with, Walter Matthau and George Burns. Yep. Neil Simon.
77, we had Annie Hall.
Yep, I saw that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it in full. I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, you've probably seen like
the point of watching Woody Allen movies.
Don't be jaded by his personal life.
I can't separate it. I can't separate it. 1978, National Lampoon's Animal House.
Animal House.
78, Heaven Can Wait.
With Warren Beatty. Okay, where's the football player that goes back to Earth?
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
79, The In-Laws.
Yes, that is a great movie.
The original one?
With
Alan Arkin.
Peter Falcon.
Yes, oh yes.
The best part of that movie.
I never saw the remake. That's the one I didn't see.
The best part of that movie, and I remember watching this with my dad, was literally when he's running away from them, like shooting guns at him from like an airplane to somewhere else or whatever. He runs in a straight line and makes it. And at the same time, I forget who it is. Either Peter Falk or Alan Arkin are yelling. And he keeps yelling at him, serpentine, serpentine. So he runs back and then does it again in serpentine. And it was just one of those things where it was like the first time I ever seen that type of a gag.
Yeah.
Where it's
I gotta watch that
even
movie
though,
again.
Even though we made it, I'm going to go back and do it again.
Because wasn't the remake made with like Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks or something like that? I saw parts of it, and I was like, yeah, I like the original.
Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas
Ryan
Reynolds.
Survey says.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan
I do
Reynolds
remember
was the kid
that.
Getting married, yeah.
So also in 1979, we had The Jerk.
He's shooting the cans.
He hates these cans.
In 1980, there was Airplane.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Oh. Love that movie.
And Caddyshack.
Thank you. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Private Benjamin.
Oh, nice. Goldie Hawn. Yes, I've seen that one.
I have not seen
that one.
No. I mean, I know the premise, but I've never really seen it.
Mm-hmm.
1982 was my favorite year.
You're saying the movie.
Yes.
With Peter O'Toole and Mark Lynn Baker, Cousin Larry. I've seen this movie.
1983, of course, as we mentioned, Trading Places, but also National Lampoon's Vacation.
Of course. Great movie.
The next year, 84, we had This Is Spinal Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was No Good Comedies for 4 years, and we had A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, that's an amazing movie. Jamie Lee Curtis again.
5 years later, there was Groundhog Day in 93.
That's my favorite all-time comedy.
And then there was Groundhog Day in 93. Rule of Threes. 4 years later, again, no comedies. Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery in 97.
Yeah, that's still a great movie.
98, there was The Big Lebowski and Something About Mary.
Mm-hmm, of
and
course.
Rushmore.
We're now going to hit like the realm where we've seen every single movie.
Yeah, Rushmore, though. Like,
Rushmore is a wonderful movie.
I like it, but I watched it again, and I was like, I think I've seen a lot of that style in the last 15,
but
20
that's
years.
Where it began
yeah,
for
Yeah, I know. But
I think it's still Wes Anderson's best film.
I agree. Agreed.
I love that movie. In 2000, there was Best in Show.
Oh, I freaking love that movie.
In 2001, Zoolander.
Yep.
Then again, 4 years without a comedy. And we had two in 2005. First, there was Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, okay.
And The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Steve Carell's kind of big turn.
I'd be interested to see this list revisited because
I don't think
Wedding Crashers would make the list today.
I don't think it would either. You're right. Like, I don't think it would. I think at the time, it was just because it was a very popular comedy, but it would have been outshined a little bit at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, I think it would be.
Especially because, like, what, 2006, so this is, like, pre-Hangover?
Yeah, so right? it's that bubble of those guys, of the frat-type comedy.
The frat pack.
Exploding.
But you know what, though? I think you're right. I think, like, The Hangover would probably make this
The
list.
Hangover would make
like,
it,
I think
yeah.
it would be interesting to look at a list of comedies from 2000 to 2010.
Like Anchorman. Like Anchorman's
figure out
probably
which
not
ones
on there.
Are,
I think that would
be still
on there
classics.
Now. Was that the last one?
That's,
yeah, okay.
That's 50.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Now you're getting into the thing, though. That first 49, fine. So what would you pick in the last 10 years?
Well, I'm just kind of surprised there's not
what
like
about
a...
old school? Sorry, old school? Like, you're getting into that thing where you could probably make a...
It gets into the
you could make
test
a case.
Of time.
Yeah.
Right, you could make a case for, like, 10 different movies.
I'm surprised
movies
there's not, like, an Ace
okay.
Ventura on there. At least, like, a one Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah.
Like a Dumb and Dumber.
They made such an effort to have the representation earlier in the list.
You know what? I would
I think if you were restructuring this list, you would choose, like, one Marx Brothers instead of multiple ones.
Yeah, exactly right. And then you were, like, hitting, like, all the Mel Brooks
you would
movies,
probably
and...
like The Apartment probably wouldn't make the cut. As I said, it's my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite comedy.
Right.
Some
it's
like
not
it
a
hot,
straight
a
comedy. Right.
There's ways that you could make a better list.
All right.
And maybe one day we will, but that day is not today.
Anyway, we're not Premiere Magazine, now defunct.
We're still at it.
We're still at it, making podcast episodes. And what we do on this podcast, on occasion, is we pit together random things of pop culture against one another to see which one will be the victor in a thing we like to call King of the Thing.
King of the Thing.
King of the Thing. King of the Thing. So, Brian, you got a King of the Thing for us.
I do, in a way. We're paying tribute to our favorite rich brothers here, the Dukes.
Oh, the Dukes, yes, Mortimer.
And we're going to do a special Duke of the Thing.
Oh.
So we're gonna look at some famous Dukes.
Dukes in various forms.
And see where they stack up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm
excellent.
In.
I'm in.
Right. So our first round matchup is pitting the number one seed, the Dukes of Hazzard.
Ah, I love that show back then.
Versus
in the, day.
The song that you were just singing.
Duke of Earl.
I like singing the song, but I don't really know what kind of criteria
I was
we're putting
here.
Right,
so what are we doing here?
So I'm imagining the Dukes of Hazzard. They're in their car, freshly painted to remove any potentially insensitive flags.
Logos.
And they're rolling up, and they come across some street toughs. Hanging out on the street corner underneath
singing
a street
Duke
light,
of Earl.
And they're sitting there snapping with themselves, singing Duke of Earl.
Are they running for pink slips?
Yes, they're racing for pink slips. And so we got them singing Duke of Earl, and of course the Duke boys coming up, and just the good old boys, never doing a home.
this is a weird one. You give me your choice. I may just
I will say the Dukes of Hazzard are the number one seed.
Duke of Earl is the number 16 seed. Characters, but I like singing that song.
I like that song.
We can sing it later. Let's go with the Dukes
what
of Hazzard.
What about a Cinderella story? Yeah. Upset.
We can sing that song later.
All
Let's
right,
go.
All right.
They're smuggling booze. That trumps it. Well, outshines it. That's the
fair,
new word I'm using.
To be fair, I didn't specify if it was Bo and Luke or the replacement ones.
Oh, yeah, when it was like the cousins. I'm going to assume it's Bo and Luke, the originals.
Okay.
And Jesse, and of course, Daisy Duke.
All right, so next we have our number 8 seed, Marmaduke.
Oh, Marmaduke, the dog.
I love Marmaduke.
Yeah.
I used
and
to read that all the time.
He's up against another dog, Duke, voiced by Eric Stone Street from The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, okay. Marmaduke. I'm going to go with Marmaduke as well. I mean, I think he's just more beloved.
Yeah.
And he's more of an asshole.
And he gets into trouble.
Up next, we have our number 4 seed, Duke from G.I. Joe, versus the number 13 seed, the Duke of Weselton from Frozen.
I guess you guys are going to be the deciding factor, because I never saw Frozen. So
for bonus points, the Duke of Weselton is going to be supported by Duke Weaselton, which is also voiced by Alan Tudyk. It's the weasel that is stealing things in the film Zootopia.
Oh.
Could he fight himself?
I'm going with Duke. I mean,
just going to say, it's
I need to know at least the
as
full
much
battle.
As I have 3 daughters that watch Frozen constantly, I'm still going to go with G.I. Joe to make sure my
he's a real American hero.
My manliness is up to par.
Oh, my.
Olaf not manly enough for you?
No.
So up next, we have a little royalty for you.
Okay.
We have Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge.
Oh.
Up against, he's a number 5 seed, he's up against a 12 seed, Paddy Duke.
So here's the direction I'm going for him. I mean, Prince William's already got it all. He's got fame, fortune, he's got a smoking hot wife. That guy doesn't need any help from me. Patty Duke, the Patty Duke show is phenomenal. She played both parts. She's the parent of Sean Astin and Mackenzie Astin. Great actors. Lord of the Rings, The Goonies. Patty Duke gets my vote.
Rick?
I'm going to go with it only because she's what Mark said.
She was also on Frasier.
Oh, was she?
I don't remember that.
And she was Helen Keller.
For a time, she was married to John Astin, who was Gomez Adams.
Sean Astin's father.
Yeah, and he was Gomez Adams in the TV show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's John
and
Astin.
She was on the Torkelsons.
Oh, really?
Anyway, it's not where has this Duke gone.
Nope.
So Patty Duke
Patty
gets
Duke.
The Duke.
But they're cousins, identical cousins everywhere. They walk like, they talk like. Blah, blah, blah. That was the theme song to the Patty Duke show.
Speaking of the Duke, we have our number 2 seed.
Well, here, pilgrim.
The star of Genghis Khan, John Wayne.
Okay.
He's up against Hot Tub Time Machine star Clark Duke.
All right.
That's pretty funny.
John Wayne wins.
I do like Clark Duke, but
I do
yeah.
like Clark Duke as well.
Yeah, but John Wayne, we got to go with John Wayne there, at least for one. Apologies to past guest John Eldridge. He's not a big fan of John Wayne.
That brings us to our number 7 seed, one of my personal favorites, Duke Phillips, voiced by Robert Napier on The Critic.
Oh, okay.
So he's Jay Sherman's boss.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
And he's against our 10 seed, the Duke Brothers.
I mean, I love The Critic. That was always a funny show, but for the fact that I didn't recognize who that was.
Yeah,
and the Dukes are just,
Duke
I mean,
brother.
They got the $1.
I'm going to come in with my argument strong here for Duke Phillips.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the Duke Brothers.
I'm going Duke Brothers.
Overruled.
I'm going to try to sway you.
Okay.
Because I think Duke Phillips is a better eccentric billionaire.
Yes, because he was a cartoon. He could do
yes,
more.
Yes, but that makes him a better character.
I mean, I loved The Critic growing up, but I feel like I grew up with this movie more in the iconic $1 you won.
I think you're not going to sway me.
Yeah, I don't think it would be swayed either. Sorry, Brian.
You both lose.
We're not in the tournament.
In a game of opinion.
We're making the decisions.
All right, our number 3 seed, Duke Nukem.
Oh, I remember that game, yeah.
Versus 14, Michael Dukakis.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go with Duke Nukem.
I'm going to go with Duke Nukem as well.
And then we have Duke Ellington, the 6th seed.
Oh, he's a good one.
Brilliant musician.
Versus the Duke Blue Devil from Duke University.
When I was young, I was a big fan of Duke as a team, but...
No, I'm going to go
Then
with
after
Duke
that,
Ellington.
I wasn't anymore, so I'm going to go with...
Yep, Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington. Musical right. Marvel.
Dukes of Hazzard versus Marmaduke.
I would say that I watched more episodes of Dukes of Hazzard than
I read the comic. I read more Marmaduke than
Okay, well, your vote's Marmaduke and mine's Dukes of Hazzard. So
I think so.
You're the deciding vote.
I'm going to go with fuck Tom Wopat. Marmaduke takes
okay,
it.
Okay, I gotcha. I see what you're going there.
All right, I like it. All right,
Next we have Duke from G.I. Joe versus Patty Duke.
No, Duke from
Duke
G.I.
from
Joe.
G.I. Joe. Again, we have to purport our manliness in this one.
Duke's 100%.
Then we have John Wayne versus the illegitimate choice, the Duke Brothers.
I'm going to go with the Duke Brothers. I wasn't a big John Wayne fan.
Yeah, but John Wayne's John
Wayne. I mean,
Wayne.
He's iconic. But how many John Wayne movies have you actually seen, Rick?
I've seen a lot of them.
You have?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think combined, I have seen Trading Places probably 100 times over compared to John Wayne movies that I've seen. So,
I will agree to that. I guess I've seen the movie more. So I guess if they're going in that, then...
Well, it's whatever you want to come up with, but that's the criteria I'm using.
All right, Brian, I want to hear your vote.
I'm voting John Wayne.
Okay.
Why, though?
He's a more iconic Duke.
He is, that's true.
I think if we were doing Family Feud and you said, what do you associate with the word Duke?
I think the Duke brothers
aren't showing up anywhere on the list.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the top 4 would be Duke of Cambridge, Duke of Earl, Duke Ellington, and the Duke, John
And the
Wayne.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
And Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. There you go. There's your top 5.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with John Wayne.
Okay. I'm okay.
He's just a
You, Brian, you actually
more
swayed
iconic
me there. I was
Duke.
You, more into the Dukes from this movie, but if you're right, if you're saying Family Feud style, John Wayne would obviously be up higher. Yeah. So
then we have Duke Nukem versus Duke Ellington.
I'm going to go with Duke Ellington.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the guy played all the video games. I like it.
I mean, I like the video games, but I think Duke Ellington had a bigger impact on art and culture.
Yeah, all right. We'll go with that.
Then that brings us to our final four. We have Marmaduke versus Duke from G.I. Joe.
Again, I was way into G.I. Joe as a kid, and Marmaduke I read on occasion, but I'm going to go with Duke from G.I. Joe.
I am going to agree. I read it a lot, but this was...
You read it a lot, but you didn't really like it.
No, I did. I did like it.
You're very torn by
it.
But
the thing is G.I. Joe was it. I mean, this is what G.I.
Joe, yeah.
But...
G.I. Joe is the king.
So yeah. I'm going to go with Duke from G.I. Joe.
Our next Final Four matchup is John Wayne versus Duke Ellington.
If you're going by the Family Feud type of answer, yeah, John Wayne is going to be better.
No, but
than,
in a fight.
But I think that...
What about in a
personally
fight?
It can also be in a fight if you want it to.
No, I'm not going to do in a fight. My criteria here is who's more talented? I think Duke Ellington is more talented.
Rick, you're saying John Wayne?
Who's more talented in a fight?
No. Who's more talented at their craft?
Oh, I think John Wayne.
No way.
If you put Duke Ellington
establishing this as like a talent contest right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
For this round randomly.
Criteria I want to use, so that's the criteria.
Your criteria is...
That works for you. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the criteria.
No, it doesn't have to be.
I think if
Don't
Duke
come
Ellington,
down to my criteria.
Oh, well, I am. I think if you were to put Duke Ellington into an acting talent...
Oh, yeah?
An acting... I don't even know
oh,
how
yeah?
to put
if
it.
John Wayne's on a piano, he'd be like, ding, 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 pilgrim.
Yeah.
Ding, ding,
win.
Pilgrim.
Imagine if you went to a bar and it was just ding, John Wayne ding, ding, going,
hitting a piano.
Ding, pilgrim. I think he would be like, I've succeeded at life.
I think we have our outro song.
It's pretty catchy, yeah. It's pretty catchy.
Pilgrim. All right, I'm going to go with John Wayne.
Pilgrim. And John Wayne takes it. So that brings us to our final matchup. Duke from G.I. Joe versus the Duke, John Wayne.
Oh, God.
I'm putting this in your corner.
Duke versus Duke.
Oh, that should be the name of this segment. Put up your Dukes.
Ah. So if you needed additional information for Duke, he was also in the live-action G.I. Joe movie.
No, don't use that as an example. No, that's
played
by
Channing Tatum.
This is a detractor here.
No,
we're
also,
going after cartoon.
And also, the cartoon shirt. Duke left me with... Bad
cartoon Duke did,
yeah. Because remember, he died,
yeah.
That still affects
me. I'm sure John
today.
Wayne has died in some films.
A snake bit his heart,
yeah, but he didn't come back like Jesus. he wasn't the Aslan of the story.
All right, since Brian brought up the live action G.I. Joe, that pretty much
I know. Come
it
on,
for me. I'm gonna go with John Wayne.
I was going with Duke, I mean,
you
again,
were. But then the live-action Channing Tatum.
No, but I'm still, like, even I...
It's slowly
my Duke
you.
Is the cartoon one, and I've watched way more episodes of G.I. Joe, the cartoon series, than any John Wayne movie, so I'd have to stick... And I had Duke as an action figure. Did I have a John Wayne action figure? I don't think so, so I'm staying with G.I. Joe Duke as my
pick. What about...
So, I think now we need to come down to a fight.
In a fight? I think Channing Tatum would take... John Wayne. I mean, John Wayne would be like 108.
or Cartoon Duke could be
Cartoon
on
Duke
John
would
Wayne.
Take him
oh,
out,
God.
Too.
Cartoon yeah. Duke would take him.
Because you
even
know what?
Even with a snake in the heart, he could probably take John Wayne.
And Bruce Dern killed John Wayne in a movie. He was the man who shot Liberty Valance, and so could Duke. G.I. Joe!
And with that, Duke from G.I. Joe.
Woo! Is
putting up his dukes.
Burr, 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 burr. Hey, Rick, what's getting you down? This tournament not the way you thought it would go? Well, now you know.
And knowing
is half the battle. G.I. Joe. G.I. Jose.
What was that from?
Family Guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
King of the Thing.
Yeah. Duke of the Earl.
Duke of the put up your dukes. All right, so really quick, I think we're just going to really quickly touch upon. Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Because yeah. The thing about this movie is Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, even Don Ameche, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis, even Denholm Elliott, although we could maybe look up some of his older stuff. I'm not as familiar with, but Ralph Bellamy, who was the other Duke brother, was the guy I, like, really didn't know what else he was in. So
yeah.
why don't we look him up?
194 acting credits.
Okay, I thought you were going to say he is 194 years old.
No, he's close. He died in 1991.
Okay.
At the age of 87. And he was in, of course, Trading Places.
Yep.
He was also, his last acting credit, not in a TV show, was Pretty Woman.
Nice.
So he was in Pretty Woman.
Not the musical coming out soon.
I'm going to kind of skip over the TV stuff
because
he's been in a lot of TV
stuff.
Yeah,
why not?
But, so Pretty Woman, Coming to America, where he reprised his role as Randolph Duke.
Which I brought up, because they're in the same shared universe.
The Good Mother, Amazon Woman on the Moon.
I've heard of that movie.
Yes.
Wow, he's in that?
Yep. Love Boat TV series. I guess he's been in a lot of them. Fantasy Island. Holy crap! This guy was in like
everything. If you're on Love Boat, you're gonna end up on Fantasy Island.
That's true.
That just kind of goes hand in hand.
That's true. Actually, almost all of his stuff is. Oh God, he was in Oh God.
Oh, with George Burns.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Not Oh God Book Two.
No. A lot of stuff. Like I said, we're skipping over TV, but there's a lot of TV. Cancel My Reservation.
Sure.
Don't
where did you Applebee's?
You sure? Yeah. Right.
Oh, and you're still talking about the movie credits. Oh, sorry.
Man, it's Bob Hope.
What? He played Bob Hope?
No. That's the movie.
Oh, Bob Hope's in that movie.
Bob Hope is a stressed out talk show host who is sent on vacation to Arizona on doctor's orders and has to play Sherlock Holmes with his wife, the lovely Eve Marie Saint.
To solve
a series of murders that has Bob as the prime suspect.
Oh, interesting.
Cancel
My Reservation.
To Applebee's. Rosemary's Baby. The Professionals.
It's a good movie. Yeah. Western.
Yep. It's a Western. Burt Lancaster.
Lee
Marvin.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've seen that. That's good. I like that
movie. We're getting back into the early 60s now, late 50s. He played FDR in Sunrise at Campobello.
Back in the 1930s, he had a string of films where he played Inspector Steve Trent.
Oh, interesting.
Like a recurring character in a number of...
Like a detective series,
yes.
Huh?
Wow.
Were they movies or like
They look
television?
Like movies.
Okay.
Got a ton of movies
detective
back in the 40s.
Steve Trent.
30s. Yeah. I mean, he played Ellery Queen.
Oh, Ellery Queen. That's another detective, right?
Yeah. Ellery Queen's Penthouse Mystery. Ellery Queen and the Perfect Crime.
Yep.
Ellery Queen and the Murder Ring. Yeah.
Murder Ring or Murdering?
Murdering. No,
he would just throw his wedding ring at people.
He was in His Girl Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, we brought that up.
The Awful Truth.
Those were two of the comedies on that list that we brought up. Of the 50 greatest comedies of all time. So he's on at least three of them.
Your mind works in a mysterious way.
Me?
I had forgotten that list completely.
You forgot that His Girl Friday and The Awful Truth were two of the other movies on there? So he's on at least three of them. That's pretty good. I think that's a good place to stop at Ralph Bellamy.
I'm good with that one.
All right. Do we want to look up Denholm Elliott to see?
Sure.
All right. So besides all the Indiana Jones movies and this movie and the Noises Off movie that Christmas movie I brought up.
You got rid of pretty much everything.
No, there's got to be more than
161
that.
Acting.
Yeah, that was only five,
right.
I said.
Noises Off was his final acting.
Final one. Okay.
He passed away in 1992.
Yep.
At the age of 70 on October 6th. He was in Toy Soldiers.
Oh, right. Yes, that's a great movie. John Astin. That's Sean Astin.
Son of Patty Duke.
Wow.
Return from the River Kwai.
Return to the River. I've only seen the bridge on the River Kwai.
From the River Kwai.
I saw the original.
A Child's Christmas in Wales, as you mentioned.
I've seen that. It's a nice, heartwarming movie.
Colonel Phelps and the Whoopi Boys.
Oh, I bet they have cushions.
A Room with a View, The Razor's Edge, The Wicked Lady, also from 1983.
Oh.
It was Sir Ralph Skelton.
Ooh, not Sir Ralph Skeleton.
But now we're moving back into the pre-Indiana Jones days.
Yep.
Zulu Dawn, and Watership Down, he was the voice of Cowslip.
Oh, that depressing thing with the bunnies,
right?
Oh.
The 1978 Hound of the Baskervilles.
Okay.
He was Stapleton.
All right, so he wasn't Sherlock Holmes.
No, that was...
Was that like Peter Cushing or someone?
Had Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore?
Peter Cook.
Oh, so it was like a comedy version. Because they were comedy partners.
Peter Cook was Sherlock Holmes. Dudley Moore was Dr. Watson.
Yeah, so it was like a parody because they're a comedy duo.
You're a comedy duo.
Ah! Wait, who's my partner?
Voyage of the Damned from 1976. Robin and Marion from 1976.
With Sean Connery?
Yep. Ah. He was Will Scarlet.
He was Will Scarlet? Nice.
What?
That's awesome.
It's Not the Size That Counts from 1974.
And the sequel, It's How You Use It.
The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz.
Oh, Lenny's
played
dead.
The Friar. So this is the list of films you've never seen, starring Denholm Elliott. The Night They Raided Minsky's.
Oh, delicious cheesecake there.
Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush from 1968.
And the sequel, The Monkey Chases the Weasel.
The Spy with a Cold Nose from 1966.
Oh, he's going to get the flu.
King Rat from 1965.
Oh, who's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle villain? Oh, wait, that's the Rat King. It's the Rat King.
Yes.
We've got credits that go back to 1947.
Yeah. Well, since we're pressed in time, the last person I want to look up, and I think it's going to be relatively short, unless I'm mistaken, is Lewis's fiance at the time, at the beginning of the movie, Penelope.
Ah.
All right. So Penelope was played by Kristen Holby. So she was born in 1951.
Okay.
She was an American actress, and during the late 1970s and through the 1980s was a very successful model for a number of brands, including Ralph Lauren and Chanel. She's married to Dr. James Darnell, is mother to three now-grown children. The youngest are twin daughters, Phoebe and Camilla.
You're saying all this because she was in never any movie ever.
She was in Trading Places, and in 1986 she was Mrs. Jacoby in Manhunter.
Oh, that was the first time we saw Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, when not he was played by Brian Cox.
Exactly, not Anthony Hopkins.
She's the sister-in-law
of
Arthur Elgort.
So she did two movies.
So
Penelope.
She did not have a very full film
career.
No, but at least she got to talk business and make out with Dan Aykroyd. I think that kind of wraps up this edition of Aware, Aware, Have These Actors Gone? Gentlemen, any kind of final thoughts about Trading Places, Dukes?
No. I mean, I would recommend watching it. If you have never seen it,
yeah,
watch
it. Oh, definitely see this movie, yeah.
If you have seen it,
watch it again. Because like I said, a lot of those 80s R-rated comedies, I pick up more and more every time I watch.
Here's what I have to say about Dukes.
I'm Duke Phillips, and from now on, I'm speaking my own mind. First, I'll tell you what I'm really going to do as president. I'll run this country like I run my company. I'm going to raid the pension fund, dump chemicals in the ocean, and sell our best assets to the Japanese. Half of you states are in the toilet, and you're not coming out. New York, you know what I'm talking about. California, kiss your smoggy butt goodbye. New England, you're going back to old England. Well, that's my speech. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to put on some leather and go get spanked. Vote for Duke. Good night.
I don't think I could put it any better myself. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy, wouldn't change if they could. System like a two modern day Robin Hood.
Duke, 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 lots of Dukes. Pick lots of Dukes, 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 lots of Dukes, Dukes, Dukes,
lots of Dukes, Dukes, Dukes,
lots of Dukes, 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 lots of Dukes, 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 lots of Dukes, Dukes, Dukes.
Well,
I'm gonna pick Duke. Whoa, whoa. Not John Wayne, but G.I. Joe. Cause he's the bestest Duke. My Duke, Duke, Dukey, Duke, 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 Dukey, Duke, 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 Duke.
Lots of Dukes, Dukes, Dukes,
lots of Dukes, Dukes, Dukes.
Lots of dukes. Lots of dukes. So many dukes. Lots of dukes. Lots of dukes.
This episode brought to you by Marmaduke.
Now, what's going to happen if someone just tunes in and hears that part?
Dookie means poop.
Marma poop?
Marma poop.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and join us next time for more movie madness. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin, P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, please leave a nice rating and a review. Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances for 2018, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby pilgrims!